Deuteronomy chapter 32. In the last chapter, Moses mentioned his age. We know it. He said, I'm 120 years old. I'm not going into the promised land with you. And God said, all right, Moses, here's what's got to happen. You remember Joshua got brought into the picture. I won't do all of chapter 31 for you, but as we start chapter 32, the song that Moses wrote, he's going to sing it to them. It's chapter 32. And this is the song that the nation of Israel was to learn. Remember, God said to Moses, write down a song. Write these words down in a song and teach it to the children of Israel, that they should learn it, so that even when you're gone, even when they've been in the land years and years and years, maybe hundreds of years, thousands, they'll still remember this song. We talked about how music sticks in your head. Most of you are willing to admit it. That music really sticks with you, doesn't it? It just sticks with you. I remember songs that we sang when I was just a child. Now, I've done a lot of music in my life, and so I remember songs that nobody else remembers. You know, sometimes I go looking for old songs, and I'll say to someone, hey, can you help me find this? And they'll look, and they've never heard of it. But I know I couldn't have written it, so somebody had to have done it sometime. Usually we can come up with it. But I remember music. I don't know about you. But it was my life for a long time. So even now, I can turn the radio on and surf the channels. And sometimes the radio will stop and I'll listen to a song and I'll know the words. Not because I remember them, but because it's the first time I've heard them, they just stick with me. So I'm really impressionable. You have to watch what I listen to. Because I remember. I like to be that way with movies too. If I see a movie I really like, I watch it about 1,000 times. So I can make sure I said it right. Right? Yeah. This is the song that the nation of Israel was supposed to learn. Remember, they're going to teach it to their children. They're going to be singing it. Some have suggested, here in chapter 32, that this was Israel's national anthem. For all the years when they moved into the new land, Canaan, the promised land. The song, you'll notice, calls earth and heaven as witnesses. God calls earth and heaven as his witnesses. And the song promotes the name of the Lord God Almighty. If you read through it, which I'll encourage you to do on your own, you will see it's really a simple history of Israel wandering in the wilderness. It kind of reiterates what Moses has been saying through the book of Deuteronomy, how they were stubborn, selfish, and the list could go on and on. But the Lord continued to provide for them always. It's just like, we could sing this song today. We're born again, many of us, but the truth is, there are times when you couldn't tell it, huh? There are times when our attitudes and the things that we think and some of the things that we say aren't what they ought to be. And God is still merciful, still kind, doesn't break your neck and take you out of this. You know, he lets you. He's merciful. And, of course, the song shows how stubborn they were and how good God was through it all. We see also in this song God's longing for his people. You're going to see Jesus in the New Testament in Jerusalem. He's going to weep over a city called Jerusalem. And he's going to say, oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, how long have I wanted to gather you together just to take care of you? Just like a mother hen takes care of her chicks. But you wouldn't let me. You refused. You said no. Well, here in this song, chapter 32, as you're singing this song, notice God is longing for his people to listen to him and to come to him, to pay attention. That they would turn to him, that they would trust in him. God is full of mercy and loving kindness. And we see God is holy and just and righteous. And even in this song, God says, I want you to come, but you won't do it. Now, how many, don't raise your hands, are right in that position today? God is wanting you to simply give it up, let it go, turn it over, and come on close where it's safe. When he wept over the city and says, oh, how I have longed to do this, but you are so stubborn, you keep saying no. Notice, God lets you choose your way, contrary to popular belief. God lets you. It's not always going to be this way. You will be sorry that you chose your own way, but notice how he allows you to do it. Even Christians, how God allows us to wander off, if we want to. If we want to, he allows it. But the song has a promise in it. Read through the whole song. Promises the day that God will bring his people back to himself. There's coming a day. The song says that God will bring his people back to himself. Of course, they'll have to suffer quite a bit to get it done. You remember September 11th and how God was mentioned in the news, on the radio. You saw him on, you didn't see God, but his name mentioned on television. And people wanted to pray and the Supreme Court says, go for it. It's died out, hasn't it? Now the ACLU is back in full swing and attacking everything that mentions God. And everybody says, yeah, right on. Yeah. That's okay. See, because all it takes is just a little bit of pressure in the right place. Just a little pain. And we're right back. Oh, sorry. We just don't learn. And God says, there's coming a day in that song, he says, he'll bring his people back to himself. His grace, his mercy, his loving kindness going to bring them back. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take nuclear weapons. That's what it's going to take. But God is so kind, he'd let that happen. They're going to suffer, those people. But there will be that day when they will turn. There will be that day when the Bible says, they will look on me, Jesus says, whom they have pierced. Messiah saying that. Oh, they'll come around. It's just like you and me. All it takes is one fatal disease to really bring us around, doesn't it? Notice that about us. Just one simple, a doctor says you're not going to live. Whoa, I better pray. And God's going, ooh, nice to hear from you. I have longed for you to come close. I have been longing for you and I just to talk. Well, you can learn the song as you read chapter 32 yourself. I'm all the way down now in verse 44. Are you with me? And Moses came and spoke all the words of this song in the ears of the people. He and Joshua, the son of Nun. That didn't mean Joshua didn't have any parents. That means his dad's name was Nun. Okay? And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. Teach the kids the song. They'll learn it when they're little. They'll be singing it the rest of their lives. Even when they're not thinking about it, sometimes it'll just pop back into their heads. And they'll think about the Lord their God. Moses and Joshua, the two leaders now, they spoke all the words of this song out loud for the people to hear. That means out loud in their hearing. So maybe Moses and Joshua sang it. Okay, ready, Josh? 1, 2. And maybe they sang it out. Sounds like they did. Because how else are people going to learn the song? And they didn't have song sheets. These are some smart people. And they sang the song out loud in their hearing. How would you have liked to have been Moses? 120 years old, already admitted he had a peach impediment. Remember he said, I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. I don't speak well. Well, then sing it. All right, how embarrassing is that going to be? God didn't say, I know you can sing well. God just said, sing it. Make a joyful noise. And they sang this out, he and Josh, loud into the hearing of the people. That's interesting. Moses says this, simply obey the law. Listen to the Lord. Notice he says that. And live in the land that he has given you. Just listen to God and live in the land he's given to you. Is that so much to ask? Do you want to be happy for the rest of your life? People say, sure. Then listen to God and follow along. It is so easy. Do we? Do this. Not on your life. Because we're going to try it our way. Isn't that what the famous song said? And I did it my way. Of course, after the whole, I sing now, I did it sideways because that's how I was most of the time. I mean, you know, we all got to do it our way. I know the Bible says you shouldn't do this, but I'm mad now. I know that the Bible says that you could do this, but or you don't have to. Here's a better way, but I'm going to do it just because I got a right. And man, here we go. Remember, we're saved. We're the ones that are saved. We're the ones saying we want to do God's will. We just want to bless him. And what happens to us? We wander off, get ourselves in trouble, whine, complain. Divorce is rampant in the Christian church. Oh, you haven't seen the end of it. That's why you and I certainly should be grateful that it is by grace that we are saved. That it is nothing but mercy that we've been given life. Because not one of us would make it. Now we read this. Verse 48. The Lord spoke unto Moses the same day, saying this, get thee up into the mountain of Arim, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. And behold, the land of Canaan, or behold it, take a look at it, which I give to the children of Israel for a possession. And die in that mount where you're going. Oh, good. And be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and gathered unto his people, because you trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because you sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go there into the land which I give the children of Israel. I'll let you see it. Climb the mountain and take a look. Get a good look, because I'm going to have you die right there on the mountain. So go on up there and look. That's the land. You'll see how beautiful it is, but you can't go in. Why? Well, because you didn't sanctify me. You misrepresented me to others. We want to be careful of that, don't we? You think God has changed? No, God hasn't changed. God is the same. God never changes. In him is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He just doesn't change. He still doesn't want me and you misrepresenting him to others. So Moses gets to go up in the mountain, gets across from Jericho, that Mount Nebo there. You can see across the Jordan. You can see the land out in front of you and you can go, whoa, that's really nice. Okay, die. Moses is called the lawgiver. You know that, don't you? He didn't write the law. I mean, God wrote the law down, but Moses brought the tablets down from the mountain. You know that. Broke them. Moses broke all commandments all at once. Got angry. Had to go back up and say, Lord, I broke that set. Got another one? God says, yeah, carve me out some stones. We'll write it down again. Moses was called the lawgiver. Moses was the representative of the law. Moses says, go into that land and listen to God and do what he says and stay there and enjoy it. But Moses could not enter into the promised land. So write this down. The law reveals sin, but the law does not remove sin. You see, Moses represents the law. By law, you will not enter into God's promise. The law reveals sin. Paul says it. I had not known covetousness or lust, except the law said, thou shalt not. I didn't even know it until the law said it. Then I was guilty. So the law reveals sin. But the law does not and cannot remove the sin. Once you find out you're a sinner, you're thinking, oh, great. Now look at the condition I'm in. I'm a sinner. And what do we need? A Savior. There is nothing I can do to save myself. Moses, representing the law, could not enter into the promised land. They are entering in how? Have they been faithful? No. Have they been completely obedient? No. Have they done everything right? Did they stop complaining for a full month and a half? No. How did they enter in then? Why are they going in? God's mercy, God's kindness, God's love, God's promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He took them in. Did they deserve it? No. And the representative of the law did not enter in because the law reveals sin, but the law cannot remove the sin. So Moses dies outside the land of Israel, the promised land. We come to chapter 23. Or I'm sorry, 33. And what you see in chapter 33 is the final blessing of each tribe. Each tribe will come before Moses publicly. And this is Moses' last public act before he dies. He blesses each of the 12 tribes. They come before him publicly and he blesses them. Publicly, it's the last public act that he did as each tribe comes forward. Now we get to chapter 34. How are we doing? And if you'd like to read the blessings, go read through. It's a short chapter. It doesn't take much time. You'll see simply publicly blessing each tribe publicly. The last thing Moses did before he went. And Moses, chapter 34, went up from the plains of Moab to the mountain of Nebo, which God said, to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho, like God told him to do. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and all the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea. And the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar, down south. And the Lord said unto him, in verse 4, this is the land which I swore unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, saying, I will give it to your seed. I have caused you to see it with your own eyes, but you shall not go over there. Just as God promised. I'll let you see it, Moses, but I will not let you go over there. Joshua is going to lead God's people into this land that was promised. The people will all enter in based on God's mercy, not how well they've done for the last 40 years. Based on God's mercy. And God remembering His promise. God always keeps His word. How often? Always. Some of you are making decisions right now based on what's going on around you, ignoring what God's word has to say about it. Don't do that. God always keeps His word. His word is solid. It is true. Don't do that. Don't make a decision outside of and against the word of God. You won't like it. Because God always keeps His word. It may look like a smart business deal. It may be a great relationship. It may be a lot of things. But if it goes against His word, you are going to be sorry. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Because God always keeps His word. Says, Moses, take a look. I promised. I promised you could see it. And I promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that their children could have it. So you take a look. There it is. Isn't it pretty? You'll die here. And the Bible says in verse 5, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him. Who buried him? Word is telling us here, God buried Moses. He buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man, no human, knows of his grave, sepulcher, even to this day. Nobody knows where he was buried. They just know the area. If you take a look at the area where you say Moses might have been buried out there, oh my goodness, it goes for miles and miles, and you're not going to find Moses. It's kind of interesting. God buried Moses. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Man, he still had good eyesight. His eyes didn't go dim. You know, we seem to believe that getting older causes poor eyesight. Not according to Scripture. Stupidity probably does. And a few other things that we're doing to ourselves. But Moses' eyes were good and healthy at 120 years old. He didn't need glasses, not even to read. Even though he didn't have a big library. But not only that, but what else does it say? He was still just as strong as when he was young and had all the energy. He still had the same energy as when he was 40. And he was 120 years old. You see, let me read it to you again. Because you have to understand this. You live in America. I'll read it slowly. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force or strength abated or weakened. Then how did he die? Yeah. That's exactly right. You got it. It wasn't his diet. Or maybe it was. You could break down manna and see if it's really good for you. Was it his diet? Was it his exercise program? Did they have tofu? And at 120, he was still just as strong as he was at 40. But he died. How did that happen? God said he was finished. God said, take a look. Nice, isn't it? Yeah, okay, you're dead. And God buried him. And I am still convinced to this very day, no matter what anybody tells me, that I'll be finished when he says so. Not when everybody else decides. Not when some doctor tells me I got 3 months. Because doctor tells me I got 3 months, he might be lying. I only have 3 days. Some people say, well, you can hurry up your death. Well, I suppose you could. Even that, I'm not real convinced about that anymore either. Because if I hurried up my death, would God go, oh my goodness, I didn't know you were going to do that? Or would he say, well, that's just when I knew you were going to die anyway? If he said that, then I wouldn't have hurried it up, would I? It's tricky, isn't it? I read an article that said, if you do this certain thing, you will add years onto your life. I read it and thought, I don't think so. No, not unless God says you will. And of course, you could whine and turn your face to the wall and cry, please, please let me live it. God might. He gave Hezekiah another 14 years. Remember that? Hezekiah had a son who turned out to be the most evil king that Israel ever had. And Hezekiah's life was miserable for the next 14 years. It was the worst time in his entire earthly life. Bummer, huh? Maybe you got to go when it's time to go. Moses did. Still had good eyesight, still strong, still had energy at 120 years old. But God took him anyway. I'd like for you to know something, though. Moses is buried in the land of Moab. God says, Moab is my wash pot. In our language, that would mean restroom. So God didn't have a real high opinion of Moab. That's where he buried Moses, though. In the restroom. Somewhere out there. I mean, we don't know exactly where, but that's where Moses was. And you know something? Moses did enter the promised land years later. On that mountaintop, because of who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was transfigured. A metamorphosis took place. He was transformed on the Mount of Transfiguration. And who was there to speak with him? Moses and Elijah. Moses did enter in the promised land. How did he enter in? By grace. Not by law. Even then, by grace. Interesting, huh? Well, we read this. The children of Israel, verse 8, wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. 30 days. You know, the common mourning period for your average loved one, for a son or a daughter or a very close loved one, the common mourning period was 7 full days. You lose your child, you mourn 7 days. Okay, time to go back to work, get with it. Life goes on. You lose someone very close to you. You got 7 days. You can wail. You can hire wailers. And they'll yell for you and play music. And it'll be a sad thing. 7 days. But for Moses, the entire nation of Israel mourned 30 days. I believe God had something to do with that. And I'll tell you why. Because most of the people couldn't stand Moses. They called him a lousy leader. They wanted to kill him. They tried to attack him a few times. They said, you don't love us. You're this, you're that. I mean, those people. Moses, when he got to paradise, probably sat down next to Abraham and thought, whew, man, you should have been there. Because it was a tough bunch. But they mourned 30 days. And this is Joshua, verse 9. The son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. That will be the spirit of the living God giving wisdom to Josh. God's Holy Spirit gives wisdom, we learn. For Moses had laid his hands on him, upon him, and the children of Israel listened unto him, unto Joshua, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So for a moment or two, we got the children of Israel doing what they're supposed to. And they're going to cross over Jordan pretty quickly. Now, verse 10 says, there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. In all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. There's never been a prophet like him. Prophets. Seems to be a lot of them today. A lot of them. They usually tell us who they are. We don't recognize them as prophets. They always have to tell us. No prophet like Moses. What did the Bible say? Moses was unique among all the prophets. Why? He spoke with God face to face. Did he see God's face? No. But he spoke to him face to face. Moses up on that mountain 40 days, 40 nights up there. He was up there a long time talking with God. Even asked one time, God, can I see your face? I'd like to see you. We're talking like we're close, but I want to see you. And God said, Moses, you can't. Because no man shall see the face of God and live. You can't. I'm too much for you to deal with. And Moses, please, come on. God says, I'll tell you what I'll do. God stuck him in a cleft of a rock. Here's a rock that has a little space you could shove. So Moses gets shoved into this rock. And God said, I'll walk past you, but I'll put my hand up. In other words, I'll cover your face so you can't see me or you'll die. So God shoves him inside this rock area. And as God walks by, God, the Bible says, puts his hand up, in anthropomorphic term, meaning God covered Moses' face. And then when God was past, took his hand down. And God's afterglow was so bright that Moses could hardly look upon that. And Moses glowed in the dark so brightly when he came down from the mountain. After seeing just the afterburn of God, the afterglow, the glow after God's passed by, Moses was so bright that he came down the mountain. People said, we can't, you're brighter than the sun. We can't look at you. Cover your face. He had to put a veil over his face because people couldn't look at him. And that's from just looking at the afterglow of the Lord when the Lord had already passed by. Moses was such a unique prophet that he spoke with God face to face. There were a couple of times when God said, I'm going to kill them all. We'll take you and the kids, you and your wife and the kids, and we'll make a whole new nation. And Moses prayed, please don't do that. And you remember all how Moses loved the people, even though the people didn't love him back. But in Deuteronomy 18, if you remember way back when we were in Deuteronomy 18, God promised that he would raise up another prophet like unto Moses, greater than Moses, but like Moses. Moses spoke face to face with God. And God's going to raise up another prophet. And Jesus Christ, the Messiah, turned out to be that prophet. He was prophet, priest, and king, wasn't he? Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who has builded the house has more honor than the house. The prophet that would be like unto Moses, which was greater than Moses, was the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a prophet. If you read through the Gospels, you'll see he told you what the future would hold. One of the things God says is, I will prove to you I'm God. You say, prove to me you're God. Prove to me there is a God. God says, I will prove to you I'm God. I will show you the end from the beginning. I will show you what will happen before it takes place. And I will not miss. I will be 100% accurate. And that is the requirement to be God. To be 100% accurate. There are prophets today that people send money to and listen to. And those prophets are not prophets of God. Benny Hinn is not a prophet of God. Now you say, don't name names. Have to. He comes out publicly and gives amazing prophecies. Remember the amazing prophecy. The amazing prophecy that he gave about 8 years ago, he said in the middle 90s, the entire homosexual community will be destroyed by fire. What's the year? 2002. The homosexual community get destroyed by fire? God doesn't make mistakes. Doesn't matter how you feel about me now, from now on. I just want you to know God does not make mistakes. And somebody ought to finally say it out loud. I listened to a prophecy right after September 11th from a man of God down in, Texas? Where's Copeland? Texas? I wouldn't mention his name, but his last name's Copeland. Texas. Right after September 11th, he said, Just listen to him again this morning to make sure he really said it. Within the next 2 to 3 months, out of the 1.2 billion Muslims in the world, 1 billion will either be killed or converted to Christ within the next 2 to 3 months. All right. Did it happen? You see, Moses was a prophet. You cannot speak in the name of the Lord and be wrong. You can't do it. So I think all of us have some rethinking to do about our whole lives and about this whole word. And I think you're going to see more and more of this kinds of things. As a matter of fact, on TBN they had a prophecy thing. I think it was on New Year's. A bunch of prophecies were given. A bunch of prophecies were given for the year 2002. Maybe you ought to find out what those prophecies were. Maybe you ought to find out if those prophecies don't come true, who said them. And maybe you ought to make sure that you're not supporting someone who is not speaking on behalf of the Lord. Someone said to me, well, you see, people make mistakes. Well, of course they do. That's why we're people. But don't dare say, thus saith the Lord, unless you are sure the Lord said it. Moses was a prophet, and an amazing prophet. You saw him prophesy. Every bit of what he said will be true, 100%. You see, and according to God in the book of Isaiah, 100% accuracy is required. God said, if it's not 100% accurate, it is not me. But there's a greater than Moses, and that's Jesus Christ. Read through the Gospels. Jesus said some amazing things, amazing prophecies. As a matter of fact, if you read them and you didn't know he was God, you'd be thinking, oh man, how could that be? His disciples even said, how can that be? That can't be. It's impossible. What amazes me about the Christian church is a man or a woman can stand and continue to make these kinds of predictions, and they do not come true, and they don't even come close to coming true, yet the church will continue to lift them up and support them and keep them going. I think it's time. Jesus Christ is that great prophet. Moses is dead and buried, representing the law. It is grace. Every one of us ought to pray about what we're all about. I think every one of us has a responsibility to know what's going on around us. And every one of us, not just one or two, but every one of us has a responsibility to know the Word of God. If you don't know God's Word, you are living in a time where somebody's going to trick you. Somebody's going to lead you off. You're going to be fooled. Any one of us can be fooled. It is time for us to get into our Bibles. It's a new year. Great time to do it. Does that make Benny Hinn bad? I don't think so. Does that make anybody named Copeland bad? I don't think so. But it sure makes me a little leery about whatever else they're prophesying. I would sure want to start checking on my own. Wouldn't you? Before I begin to follow someone. And what, again, what amazes me before we share communion is someone can guess. I could guess right if I guessed enough things. I'm sure anybody could guess right. But you see, that wouldn't be good enough. If I started saying, thus saith the Lord, this is going to happen in July, this is going to happen next August, if those things don't happen, then according to Scripture, something's wrong. And people ought to be recognizing something's wrong. And people ought to be getting into the Word and paying attention so that you're not drawn away. Be careful. Now, when you leave this church because I don't support those guys, that's okay. Go to a place where the Word of God is taught. Well, you say, well, I like them. I didn't say don't like them. I just said don't trust them. Something that you need to pray about. Something that we all need to pray about. This is about the Lord and about everything that God is doing and about everything that God has promised. And when God says something's going to be, it's going to be. Stay in the Word. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Let's bow our heads together.